Song in of the Word of God. Philippians 4 and verse 13. I like what Paul says here. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, today we just pray for those that are outside the body of Christ, as we always do, Father. That is the most important part of our life in your Son, is to seek and save those which are lost, to present the gospel of the kingdom to those that are around us, and to present the church glorious and victorious in the eyes of the world. Father, we pray for those that are outside the body of Christ, but we also pray for those that are physically ill, sickness and things have hurt their bodies. And Father, we pray that you might lay your healing hand upon them, raise them up even today, but Father, that they might realize it came from you and not from someone else. Father, we just thank you so much for the blessings you've given us, the life we have. And as Tony said, as he talked about giving and how you blessed us, we can't outgive you, that you give us everything, our life, our breath, and each day and each second that we have on this earth. Father, help us to live it for you and to make a difference in the kingdom. I pray for our congregation here that we'll be movers and shakers, and we'll make a difference wherever we go, that we'll always be pressing forward for the kingdom, doing the things that you would have us to do, standing forth for the truth of the gospel. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, when you get down to the Paul in this very personal scripture, very personal. And that's the way you ought to take it. You ought to take it like Paul did. He's writing this, but he's taking that in a personal. He doesn't say you can do all things, which you can. But you've got to take that personally in order for it to work. I can say you can do all things through Christ Jesus and strengthens you, and we can say, amen. But then when you take it personally within yourself, within your life, within your realm of your family and your work situation, and you see this as God sees you, then you can really make it work. So it has to be a personal thing between you. We talk about personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's a fact. It can't be somebody else be saved for you. It has to be you doing it for you, that you take the Lord Jesus Christ, you obey his gospel. And so if you put this into perspective the way Paul did, and I like the way he did it, he didn't say you can, he said I can. And that's what you have to have. You have to have that I can attitude. I can. Yes, I can do. That means we're going to have movement there. You can, but you got to move. You just can't sit there all day and do nothing. So there's a movement going on in your life. So it's not only I can do, but you can do what? You can do a few things, a little bit. Paul didn't say that. He said he could do what? All things. So I don't want you to limit yourself in what you can do, because you can do all things, and of course it's through, in, by Christ Jesus, who strengthens you. Now, I like that about what Paul said, because a lot of times we feel down and out. Sometimes we feel like, well, everybody's left us, have no friends in the world, things are going wrong left and right, but you realize that you have a friend that will never leave you, never forsake you, and that's Jesus Christ. He said, I have a friend. I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Realize this. When you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit within your life. You are being strengthened day by day, walk by walk, step by step, wherever you go by Jesus Christ. And yet, I hear things. People say, what can the church do? What can the church do in this world? Well, what can't the church do? Tell me, what can't the church do? There's nothing the church can't do if every one of you take that personal message of Paul into your lives. There is nothing we cannot do in the Lord Jesus Christ. I need you to know your limits and then ignore them. You hear me now? Know your limits, then ignore them, and you'll go on. You see, great leaders are rarely realistic by other people's values. When Thomas Edison went to invent a light bulb, it was unrealistic. Everybody said, well, it's not going to happen. Orville and Wilbur Wright going to fly the plane. Well, they're out of their head. There's nothing. You know, you're not going to get up there. And if you all seen all those old infomercials or what with the guys when they first trying to fly, guy made wings and he's up there flopping and he goes off a mountainside. It's a terrible crash, man. Teeth, hair, and eyeballs all over the place. He's trying to do that. And then the one with the thing, I don't know if you've seen the one, but had a big umbrella on top of a plane, you know, like a plane, and the umbrella's going up and down, and he's going to try to take off, and all he was doing was like this. That's good for making orange juice. It never got off the ground. But you see, Orville and Wilbur Wright didn't give up, and they end up flying. What people say couldn't be done, they did. So when somebody tries to put limits on you or you try to put limits on you, ignore those limits and go forward, because Christ can do that in your life. He can really make a difference in your life. Now, I'm going to give you some principles today, and I hope it'll help you in your life. Number one, life is too short. Life is too short to be limited. Look at James, the fourth chapter, James chapter 4. That's right after Hebrews. But you get in James 4, and James has a lot of great things to say about things in the Bible. James is really an encourager in that, and he's got a lot of great things to say. And he comes here to this chapter 4 and verse 14, and he talks about people and how their attitude is. He said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. He said, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Those people, as we talked about September 11th, they didn't know that that plane was going to go in that building. Those people that climbed on that plane didn't know that it was going to be hijacked and into that building. The people in any kind of situation, the tsunami there, they didn't know what was happening because they wasn't warned ahead of time. And that came along and wiped them out. He said, for what is your life? He said, you don't know what's happening tomorrow. He said, what's your life? And listen, guys and girls, you may be young, but if you live long enough, you're going to get old. Boy, that's a piece of change, isn't it? Yeah, you guys, you didn't know how great a preacher you had, did you? Real, this is a mind here. But what I'm getting at is how short it is. How short it is. Yeah, I was 16 one time. Yeah, I know you don't believe that, but I was. And how short life is. It didn't take me long to get here, and it's not going to take me long to leave this earth. And so what he says, you're just like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. He said, we're here for a little time. I don't know about you, but if I'm here for a little time, I want to do as much as I can for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to really make a difference. And I don't want to be limited by what somebody says I can and cannot do. Because I know a God, and I know Jesus Christ, who says I can do all things. And so I don't want to be limited by people, and don't you be limited. He said a little time, and it vanished away. We need to realize that our time is short on this earth. Life is too short to think small. I want to think big. There's congregations all over this world, and even in this area, that doesn't want to keep the doors open. They just want to pay for the heat. I just don't want to do that. In fact, if we get down to that mindset, we might well close the doors. I want to have a mindset that we can go anywhere in this world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We had a guy from Jamaica call, Ishmael. He called me yesterday. I taught him over there in Jamaica when I went to Jamaica Christian College to teach. And he talked to me while I was over there. And he said, you know, he said, I need to come there because I'm not getting what I need here. That they're not in depth enough and they're really skimming the stuff. And so he called me yesterday and he said he wants to come next year. And the thing about him, he's got the ability to come here next year. A very bright young man, and he wants to make a difference for the kingdom. See, he could be limited and said, I'm in Jamaica. I don't know if I can do anything, but he doesn't. He doesn't want to think small. He wants to think big. He wants to come back to Jamaica and teach other Jamaicans, which is not happening. Most people could do more than they think they can, but do less than they think they can. You can do more. You can't be limited, man. And never say the word never. Don't ever use that word. That ought to be stricken out of your vocabulary. You know, whether it's you never do anything or it's never going to happen. I remember a guy that I used to work with. His name was Norm Gerdeman. And he was a hog. We call him the sweat hog. Yeah, but he was a hogitis because he was on incentive. And he'd wear everybody out because he's trying to make as much money as he could. And that ain't bad, but he was a crazed individual. And what he did is he molded the things to pour the metal in. So he'd make the molds that they pour the metal in to make the rolls that we made to roll out Alcoa aluminum and that stuff. So we make like 110 ton rolls, see? And he'd be down there in that sand, man. He'd be pounded all the time. And he's always saying every day, I'm getting out of here. I'm never coming back to this place. Well, he got another job. He got bid on another job. He got that job. And I remember the last day that he was there, he come down there, and he wasn't going to grab a hold of that little plunger thing and do any more. He said, I'm not working today. He had on a nice outfit. He said, I'm never coming back here again. And he told the boss, he said, you messed with me for the last time. Well, we had kind of a slowdown 2 years later, and guess who comes back in the door? Storm and Norman. The only trouble is the boss is still there. The same guy that he said, I ain't have nothing to do with you. I'm done with this thing now. And so Storm and Norman was back on that little plunger, hitting that thing, driving that thing, and them guys that I worked with made a big sign. You know what said on that sign? They hung it above his thing. They had a big chute there where the sand come down. And that sign said, it was probably 8 foot high. It said, crow eating contest winner. Never say never. Never say never. So Storm and Norman ended up being the crow eating contest winner. In Mark the 9th chapter in verse 23. Mark 9 and verse 23, Jesus has some words for us that really are an encouragement to each and every one of us. 9 and verse 23, look what he says here. Mark 9 and verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. Mark 9, 23. When a person has put a limit on what God can do, they have put a limit on what God will do. When you don't realize what God can do and you say, well, God can't do that, you put a limit on what he will do. See, because he's only going to do what he will do if you have faith in what he can do. And so when we realize that God can do everything, as Paul said, I can do all things. Well, how? Through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. He has the power to make the difference. You know, I want you to never tell a young person that something cannot be done. Don't ever tell, especially a new convert. You get a new convert, they're ready to do everything, aren't they? Yeah, I mean, they're ready to go nuts, you know. They want to have Bible study, which is great. I thank God for that. I'm happy when that happens. It's unusual, but I'm happy when it happened, you know. And they're excited about it. But never tell a young person that something can't be done. And people say, well, why is that? Because God may have been waiting for centuries for somebody eager enough to do the impossible. Yeah, God just might be waiting for somebody ignorant enough to do the impossible. Because you realize this, there's nothing impossible with God. What God's looking for is somebody to step up and say, I'll do it. Here I am, send me, Lord. The problem is we limit ourselves. We can't go there. We can't do that. We don't have the abilities to do that. You've got more ability than you know you've got if you have God behind you. And you can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens you. We can make a difference in the world. The second thing I want you to see is live outside your comfort zone. Move outside your comfort zone. We get so comfortable, we don't want to move. The couch we used to have, it may not be comfortable, but it's been there. We had a couch, and it was uncomfortable. It is. I mean, but it looked good. It looked good. And Judy spent 1 year teaching in Rising Sun School System in order to upholster that couch. Now, there's a lot of time involved in that. A lot of money was involved in it. But when you sat in it, you'd rather be on a stretcher machine, you know? I mean, it's uncomfortable. But God forbid that we get rid of that. So for years, Judy's saying, man, I hate sitting on this couch. Well, why don't we get another one? Well, I worked all year for that. And it's an antique. Yeah, but you're not, I'll sit there. No, you're not sitting there. I'll sit there. No, and then I'll tell her, no, I'll go over there and sit on, I'll sit on the couch. I'm not going to tell her, I'm going to sit on it. I have back pain too, you know. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the man of the house. I'll sit on. Then we're getting an argument over sitting on the couch. No, you're not sitting on the couch. Then it's just sprawl on the couch. You're not getting on here. Go back over to your chair. All because we don't want to leave the comfort zone, see? I mean, we're comfortable. It's been there. That thing grew a beard. I mean, it's been there for years. Finally, she gave up. And the only way you can do that is to leave your comfort zone. Look in Acts, the first chapter, Acts 1 and verse 8. That's what Jesus wanted to do with the church. He's getting ready to start the church, and he's going to send the apostles around. And look in that verse when he comes up there in Acts, the first chapter, in verse 8. He said, but you shall receive the power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He didn't want him to stay in Jerusalem. He doesn't want you to stay in the church building. He wants you to go out into all the world. You got to leave your comfort zone. The answer to your future lies outside, right outside the confines that you have right now in your life. Listen, if you want to see if you can swim, you don't stand in shallow water. You got to go out. And that's what Jesus did, and that's what God did with the church. Look in chapter 8 of the book of Acts. In 1:8, he said, you'll be my witnesses. Well, in chapter 7, there's all kinds of persecution of Stephen. And Stephen's being stoned, and he's being killed. And as we look in that chapter 8, and we look in verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. He was after them. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, and they did what? Preach the word. God wants you to leave your comfort zone. If you're going to be all you can be in the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to move outside your comfort zone. Listen, any person that who has a goal in life which can be fully achieved has messed up. You got to think beyond what you think you can achieve, because you can do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do more. The church was pushed out. Great persecution happened. And what happened? Not only Jerusalem, not only Samaria, but all the rest of the world. And you guys are proof of that. You're proof of what happened that Jesus prophesied there in Acts 1 and verse 8. You're the proof text of what God said. When you wonder, is the Bible right? Is the word truth? You look at yourself. You look at your life, and you know it is. You know it's truth. You know that he can do all things. And when God says something's going to be done, it's going to be done. You go to any other country in the world that hadn't have God, and you look at it. They're in squalor. You go to a country that has God, and I'm telling you what, the people are living better, the attitude better. They have a can-do attitude. You see that crime is being taken care of or trying to be taken care of. But when we take God out of everything, then we're going down the tubes. You've got to leave your comfort zone and step over. Wherever you're at right now, and our church needs to leave this comfort zone. Once we get comfortable, we need to move. And we need to do it right away. The third thing I want you to see is not only leave your comfort zone, but go over the edge. Go over the edge. Look in Luke the 18th chapter and verse 27. Luke 18 and verse 27. Luke writes here what Jesus said. They ask him, who can be saved? He told them a rich man, it's harder for a rich man to go to heaven than through a camel through an eye of a needle. And they asked the question, well, who can be saved? And he said to this, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Some say nothing is impossible. Yet there are a lot of people doing nothing every day. You hear what I said? Some people say that nothing is impossible. And yet there are people, even in our congregation, that are doing nothing every day. Is that all you want to do? Or do you want to grow? You want to make a difference? See, when you climb the tallest tree, you get the right to get the best fruit. And I don't know about you, but too many ideas and possibilities have been killed at birth simply because of peer pressure. No, you can't do that. Nobody's doing that. Somebody is always doing what somebody else said couldn't be done. How many of you have ever seen an invention and said, I thought of that. Come on. How many? Raise your hand. You ever see anything and you already thought of it? Yeah. Just like, I thought of it. That them vans from Dodge, Chrysler, those stow-and-go seats. I thought of that. I did. I talked about a long time before that. I had the stow-and-go down, man. I said, man, you know, what am I we got a van where you have to take the seats out. And I said, man, you know, what they make that, you know, where you can put them down in them things. They owe me. I'm going to call Lee Iacocca. He's doing all them commercials, isn't he? The one I like is with the rapper, Snoop Dogg. You ever see Snoop Dogg swing a golf club? You don't swing a golf club like that. If you watch that commercial, watch Snoop Dogg swing a golf club. That guy never hit anything anywhere. But I thought about that. I'm calling Iacocca and I'm going to do a commercial with him. And I'll say, I thought of that. And you know what he's going to say? That's too bad you didn't put it into practice. The thing of it is, we see things that can be done and things that can be done and visions really of what the world can be like. And yet because, well, you can't do that. Nobody's ever done that before. I remember when I came here and said something about doing the Christmas concert. I don't know if the guys that were in there remember what was said, but I said, listen, I want to go and have a Christmas concert up at Burn Rice Center for the Arts. What one Burn Rice said about Shawnee State? And I'll never forget what they said. You know, and it wasn't everybody, but they were thinking it probably, because I would have probably been thinking of it if I wasn't in the position I'm thinking of it. But they said, well, you'll never get that. That's right. Said, you'll never get that done. And And if I say, well, but instead, I got done in a day. One day. Listen, you can do all things. When you have a vision of what needs to be done, don't let anybody short circuit you. Why? Because God made you maybe for that point. Maybe for that point in time. You're here. You're created for that point in history. You can be a history maker. A person, a mover and a shaker. And we have the Christmas concert. Now we have it packed. I remember the first year we did it. We had a guy here, and I told him, I said, listen, I don't want any preaching. I want positive songs. And he got up there, talked about how many people die on Christmas. I'm serious. And me and Art Bush is back there. He said, you want me to kill him or do you want to kill him? Yeah, Art was saying, he's killing us. I said, I don't know what to do. And then he started talking about depression during Christmas, man. And I'm saying, man, this is all I need. We got this Christmas concert. And this guy talking about everybody being depressed in Christmas instead of blue Christmas. I'm going to have a black Christmas. You know, it was terrible. And I couldn't wait for him to get off the stage. And people, Judy will attest to it, and probably you all, with people were getting up and leaving. Why wouldn't you leave? And they started preaching. That's not, we're not having that to preach at. Singers are not supposed to preach anyway. You have preachers to preach, singers sing. That's what you do. So we have somebody here to sing, and they start preaching, they're done. You, singers sing, preachers preach. But we got too many people, especially when you get some of the women thing. I want to tell you a little bit about this story. Yeah, it's back there, yeah. Well, I got saved in a telephone booth. Well, I had one do that at a thing I was doing. I asked him if they, I said, how'd they get all that water in that telephone booth? But you got to keep them from doing that. But see, you can do those things through Christ. So if you got an idea, man, of where we can grow, where we can go, and things we can do, I want to know about it, and we all want to know about it because we want to do those things. The fourth thing I want you to see is soar. After you get that, you're over the edge. You know life's too short. You're not going to take in the back seat to anybody, and you realize you moved out of your comfort zone. You're going over the edge. Then it's time to soar. Isaiah 40 in verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. He says here, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You need to learn to ignore what others think can't be done. None of the secrets of success will work unless you do. See, we can have all those things. We know that life's short. We will move out of our comfort zone. We can know all those things. We can go over the edge. But listen, unless we work, it'll not happen. Those ideas we've had about inventions don't work unless we do something about them. They're great ideas. But let's put them to work and make them work. You see, God doesn't make apple juice. He makes apples. And so if you want apple juice, you've got to get the apples and you've got to crush them to make the apple juice. In other words, that takes work. And I believe this. I believe this without a doubt. This world is divided into people who do things and people who talk about doing things. That's the way it is. People do things and people talk about doing things. You need to belong to the first group because there's far less competition in the first group, the people that do stuff. You see, when we obey the gospel, it's like we get in the car and let God begin to steer our life. You ever see that? God is my co-pilot. That's bad. That's bad because God ought to be driving, shouldn't he? Right? Well, I've seen them saying, God is my co-pilot. You know, really, God ought to be driving your car. He ought to be the one leading the way, and you're just doing what he wants you to do. Now, there's something about this that I want you to get. When we obey the gospel, listen to me, it is like we get in the car and let God begin to steer our lives. The only problem is, brothers and sisters, God doesn't steer a parked car. He doesn't steer a parked car. In other words, you have to move in your life, and God is not going to push you, shove you, or pull you. You need to be in your Bible. You need to be studying the Word of God. You need to be in the services, the worship services, sharing the gospel. The fifth thing I want you to see is don't compromise. You know, when we talk about moving, too many people are like wheelbarrows, trailers, and canoes. They are. They need to be pushed, pulled, or paddled. And you shouldn't be that way. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Don't be pushed. Don't be pulled. Don't be like a wheelbarrow or a trailer. Or canoe. Be what God intends you to be. The fifth thing I want you to see is don't compromise. In James chapter 1 and verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12. We see here a great verse of scripture that James pens for us. Once again, we've already been to James when we talked about how life is short. But as we end up in our message this morning, he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Don't compromise. Don't compromise what you believe. Don't compromise the Word of God. Don't compromise truth. In other words, when we get to the plan of salvation, everybody wants to compromise. Why compromise the truth? When we know that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, why would we compromise the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And people say, you know, you need to give in a little bit. When you move, you've already left where you were. Listen to me, folks. We can't afford to move. Jesus never moved. God never moved. The Holy Spirit doesn't move away from his truth. We need to stand dead center in the Word of God. I don't know if you ever notice anything, but there's nothing in the middle of the road but yellow stripes and roadkill. And once you move to the middle, there's that yellow stripe. And then there's roadkill. And that's what will happen when you leave the Word of God. One, don't be scared of standing for the truth, because God's with you all the way. That's why he said, I can do all things. Listen. 100 years from now, it will not matter what kind of car you drove, what kind of house you lived in, how much money you had in your bank account, what clothes you wore, what brand name you possessed. 100 years from now, it will not matter what kind of school you attended, what kind of computer you used. The only thing that don't matter is what you did with Jesus Christ. You need to get up and move for him. Life's too short. Move outside your comfort zone. Go over the edge. Soar. And don't compromise. In 100 years, the only thing that's going to matter about Jim Spinotti is whether he stayed on the nose for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to matter what kind of car you drove, how much money you had, or what house you lived in. It's going to matter what you did with Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to give the invitation to him. Invitation for all those to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark the 16th chapter. Mark chapter 16. When Jesus comes to the apostles and he begins to speak to them, he tells them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then he says this, he that believeth and is a conjunction, is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Listen, you want to be saved, you got to believe and be baptized. If you want to be damned, just don't believe. That's where it's at. Are you going to believe Jesus or are you going to believe somebody else? As Ben comes to play in our invitation and Elm will come to lead us in that, I want you thinking about where your life is and how you can move on to make this congregation better, to do greater things than we've ever done before. But you can't do that till you get started first. And the starting point is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You believe that? Well, I doubt if you'd be here if you didn't believe that. To confess him before men, that you believe that who he is who he is. To repent, and that means change your mind, go a different direction. That don't mean telling me every sin you committed. I don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear what I've ever done. God doesn't either. He just wants to know that you're going to change. And then be immersed for the forgiveness of sin and receive to get the Holy Spirit, as Acts, the second chapter, and verse 38 says, to rise and walk in a newness of life, being faithful unto death. Let's be standing as we sing our song of invitation. 602.